Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Welcome back to Going In Raw, Dark Side of the Ring review time. We figure it's odd, man. This weekend, not a whole lot of news stuff going on.
Well, there is such a flurry of news during the course of the week. I guess everybody's got a bit of a respite, take a breath before Mania Week next week really ramps up.
Had to slow down at some point, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess so.
We figured we'd take a look at the this current season of Dark Side of the Ring. Of course, everybody's talking about the Chris Benoit two-parter that kicked off the season. And I thought it was pretty interesting stuff. There wasn't a whole lot of new information. There were just small tidbits here and there that I thought were of interest in terms of what's sort of new. But, you know, in general with these Dark Sides of the Ring episodes, it's all about how the story is told and laid out.
Well, I think it's how the story is told, and they've done a good job so far for the first season. Now, seemingly for the second season, really getting to the emotional core of the story.
Yeah.
This one, in some respects, reminded me of the Bruiser Brody one. Although there was a large number of narrators, because that one was largely Tony Atlas.
Yeah.
But his retelling of what happened in that locker room in that particular episode really got to the emotional core of that story.
Sure.
And I think this one, you had Chavo, who in a lot of ways was, I've kind of felt like him and then Nancy Benoit's sister,
Sandra Toffoloni. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like they were two, like, the real emotional anchors of this story. Cause from Chavo, you get, the Brotherhood of Wrestlers,
mm-hmm.
that perspective.
Yeah.
And his proximity to not only the whole Benoit tragedy, but also his uncle's death, where Eddie literally died in his arms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was that new info? Cause I had not heard that before.
There were the two new things, at least to me, were that, And I guess in terms of the Benoit story, how impacted Chris was by Eddie's death. I wasn't aware that he was completely shattered by that.
Yeah, me neither. Kind of puts Patrick Sparks asked us that question not long ago. Like, do you think if Eddie had lived, if Benoit would have done this? I have to rethink my answer because I was like, nah, I don't think so. But I don't know. He was hit hard.
Yeah, yeah. One of the side effects of CTE is a predilection for depression or increased chances of depression.
Yeah.
So I don't know if his reaction to Eddie's death was fueled by that somewhat, or what exactly. But it's something else when you hear the story of a guy who is, by all accounts, a really dedicated family man.
Yeah.
Who, despite his intense persona in the ring, is kind of the opposite of that behind the curtain.
Yeah.
And to hear how quickly that flip switched.
Well, that was one thing that I felt the documentary on one level failed at a little bit, is I feel like they glossed over the lead up to the murder-suicide, because they kind of hint, not really hint, they talk about, like, in very bare minimum, at the very bare minimum, the domestic issues he had with Nancy that led up to that. One of the more interesting things from my perspective was when Jericho said it was interesting to hear what Regal had to say, mm-hmm. in the tribute, because he lived in the area, he probably knew more about what was going on, and his tribute in some way sort of dance around paying tribute to the guy and paid tribute to the career. And that could be perhaps why. It'd be interesting to know what Regal knows, if he knew anything. But I do feel like for as much as, and I understand that they're framing a narrative, that they sort of hit Kevin Sullivan with, hey, he was abusive. Nancy ran to Chris to get away from him, which is probably true to a degree. They sort of didn't really get too much into their domestic issues prior to the final act, to the
murder. And also, I don't feel like there was the timeline they implied was Chris was totally fine. Eddie's passing happened, and he essentially just fell into a abyss of depression and anger and grief.
Yeah,
and from that, everything else sprung. Mm-hmm. Whether that timeline is accurate or not, I don't know.
That's
definitely the narrative they kind of painted. Is that up until Eddie's passing, like behind the scenes, Chris was like a normal dude. And once Eddie passed, then everything fell apart.
One of the shocking things to me, and it's funny because I was giving it some pretty extensive thought when you texted me this morning. I was like, hey, you want to do this? I was like, yeah, sure. Is making the decision to do the tribute show the next day. JR was especially, vociferous when he was saying, we didn't have all the info. We didn't know that this was a situation. So we ran the show, and that's on us. I don't necessarily agree that they should be given much flack for that necessarily, mainly because if you look at what are the alternatives? Yes, somebody might have been in the room and said, hey, listen, what's the worst case scenario here? The worst case is Chris did this, and do we want to be celebrating the guy? On the other hand, it's, well, what if that's not the case? Like, if we don't go ahead with this, how would they possibly address it? I mean, I guess you could have said, we're still waiting for these details to come through and we're all internalizing this and we're going to continue on with our show. And maybe they just have sort of a dull episode where they put on a bunch of matches and they don't talk about Chris necessarily. They just sort of push until they find out. So I guess that would have been the appropriate way to handle it instead.
Well, also based on, again, how the narrative is laid out in the show, it, when they went into the tribute show, it made it seem like the only thing WWE knew was that Chris Benoit was dead.
The family was dead. Him and well, the
even family. even during the, it seemed like during the timeline that lead up to that show, that was still like they some of the interviewees were like, we didn't know anything. We just knew that Chris was dead. It wasn't until after the show happened that we found out that the family is dead. Oh, and Chris probably did it.
I thought it was when Vince got on the apron and talked to the wrestlers, he said all three were dead. That was my recollection.
Okay.
I could have recollected that wrong though.
Okay.
But because there was something on Twitter that I saw, and forgive me for not sourcing this at all, but that Meltzer had mentioned at the time that he thought it was that he had heard or felt, sorry, it was his speculation that it might have been a gas leak. And when you hear all three, you know, the family has passed away, you're asking yourself, well, how does that happen? You know? And I mean, a gas leak is a totally normal thing to think because it's like, you know, that could affect the entire house, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah. I mean, I'm not sure how. Carbon monoxide or something like that, yeah.
Right, yeah. Like in one house, how do people die? And so, but, you know, you got to think, man, all, you know, three people are dead instantly in my head. Well, somebody did this. It wasn't this also, was an accident. Somebody did this.
They had an interview with the police officer who did the safety check or the wellness check.
That was interesting stuff.
Yeah. And so, you know, and there were some police photos included of I would assume, the forensic detailing of the crime scene. And, you know, he walked in and was like, oh, I know exactly what this is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Immediately. Yeah. And I guess at no point between what that was on Saturday. I want to say, and the next Monday, of course,
I think it was Sunday that they found the bodies. I think
because that's when it was Saturday that Chavo got those texts from Benoit and thought it was strange, didn't pass it on to anybody. And then it was Sunday during the pay-per-view that he finally got in front of Laurinaitis and showed it to him. And that's when they did the wellness check.
Yeah.
So it was interesting in the span of 24 hours And granted, it's an open investigation, so maybe the police force didn't want to pass on too many details to WWE for the sake of preserving the integrity of the investigation. I don't know.
Yeah.
No details seemingly beyond he died. And perhaps, depending on whose recollection or whose retelling of the events in the shows, we believe maybe it was a situation where management knew all three had died and some of the talent didn't. I don't remember. It took longer than 24 hours for those details, I guess, to get passed along to WWE. And my camera froze up.
I thought it was interesting to hear from Chris Nowinski. I mean, we had always known that he had gone on to sort of spearhead the CTE research movement, if you will, which is very impressive. But it was, you know, and I would actually suggest everybody check out the Talk is Jericho with Sandra Toffolini, with Nancy's sister. She was really good in this episode. I mean, honestly, like this kind of stuff is, you know, I mentioned earlier, I said, you know, the way they tell the story, but I mean, really the primary stuff here is the human stuff, you know, is getting the stories, the human interactions. I thought one of the more interesting, but no, the Talk is Jericho with Sandra is excellent. It's really, really good. But when they asked David, did the WWE reach out to you? He says, no, only two wrestlers, Chavo and Chris Jericho. And of course, Chavo's in the room with them.
Yeah.
And so that was not surprising and very disappointing that the WWE, I mean, you know, I can count, we can go endlessly about the number of times WWE would disappoint us with their actions.
Yeah, I mean, the list is basically, it's of legion, yes.
But the idea of, you know, we're gonna erase Chris Benoit, we're not just going to erase Chris Benoit from, you know, the WWE, not even on the down low are we going to reach out to his family and be like, hey, how can we help?
Yeah.
In this, you know, in this.
Yeah, that would have been the responsible thing to do.
You would. I know, exactly. But they don't do that.
They don't concern themselves sometimes.
WrestleMania is a responsible
thing to do. I know. In the midst of a global pandemic, and also several wrestlers had pulled out of said event.
Exactly.
So
so that was interesting stuff. I wrote down just a couple other things that this was kind of, this was actually really kind of shocking. Vicky revealing that Eddie overdosing for a third time in their living room, she just left him because she had called the ambulance for him twice already. And she had to take, and the most heartbreaking sentence of that whole thing was, I just went and took the kids to school. And it's like, you forget that, God, they had kids.
Yep.
Like she goes, could you imagine that, going out to your living room on the way to the front door to take the kids to school and your spouse is there having overdosed and you're like, leave it in the hands of God.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take them to school because that was
tough.
That was heavy stuff.
There's a lot of heavy stuff in this episode.
Yeah, you're right though. The other sort of pillar of this episode, I guess, the other major point of this episode was the relationship between Chris and Eddie. They really hammered that home.
They went back to their days in Japan when they apparently did not get along. But you know, through fighting each other every night in the ring, they learned to respect each other, eventually become really close friends.
Vicky talked about how Chris would lay in Eddie's spot in the bed holding his pillow crying, and he would spend time in Eddie's gym crying, stating, I'm lost without Eddie here. That's a pretty deep relationship right there.
Yeah.
So that's kind of wonder if there's anything between the lines there, but, anyways, let's see here. They do talk about, you know, the idea of him possibly going to the Hall of Fame, and Jim Ross said, hell no,
no, no.
That's like, and you know, Malenko says the same thing. Like, you know, there's no way that can happen. They do. I like that. They do sort of come back around to, you know, they should really consider putting Nancy in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Jericho is really advocating for that.
And in fact, when I watched the first part, I did think that the most interesting stuff was actually the Nancy Kevin Sullivan stuff. That relationship seems immensely interesting, you know, especially with how it ended and then how he would have dealt with the eventual murder. That's got to be weird.
Yeah.
And
just the ins and outs of him telling his wife, hey, we're going to do an angle where you're having an affair. So go through essentially all the publicly facing things that you are having an affair, which in fact actually led to a real affair.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I mean, just the mindset to to put your spouse in that kind of position,
mm-hmm.
Is something else.
The other thing that was like pretty shocking was when they did the montage of unprotected chair shots. Ugh. And Jericho talking about how he would take it by just clenching up his shoulders and gritting his teeth and being, all mm-hmm. right, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were both avid wrestling fans back then. We were watching
yeah.
the entire time. We would see that stuff happen. And it's a lot different when you know that it is kind of shocking that it took that long for people to understand, for, you know, science to get to the point where it was like, yeah, that's going to cause long-term brain injury. That's going to cause long-term brain damage.
Yeah.
It seems like the most obvious thing in the world, but it yeah. wasn't.
No. I mean, I guess, you know, the extent of human knowledge, as vast as what it is, in terms of a lot of neurological processes, my understanding is we're still learning a whole hell of a lot,
mm-hmm.
Including about how this hunk of gray matter in your skull works. And yeah, it hasn't really been to the last 15, 20 years between, you know, the NFL, wrestling, how impactful concussions are long term, even not just concussions, just repeated small head trauma mm-hmm. is on the health of your brain.
Yeah.
Nowinski had a great bit where he was talking about, you know, he was backstage at some show and Benoit sat down next to him and they had a brief conversation where Benoit seemed interested in what Nowinski was working on. And so Benoit asked Nowinski how many concussions he had had. And I think Nowinski said like eight or something like that.
Mm-hmm,
and Nowinski asked Benoit, well, how many of you have?
Yeah.
And Benoit said, I lost count.
Yeah. Yeah.
So well, go ahead.
Oh, well, no, I was going to say it was comical. I forget the guy's name, but the guy that was sort of, the guy who was there to sort of take WWE to task on a lot of this stuff, I forget his name, but he was a writer of some sort, and he was the one who said,
"Oh yeah, yeah, I know who you're talking about. They wrote the book."
Yeah. Benoit got it from who? Somebody originally did a move.
Oh, the diving headbutt. It started with Harley Race.
Harley Race.
He said he was telling people don't do it because it messes up your spine. Well, yeah. Dynamite Kid saw it. He started doing it.
Yeah,
he had back troubles.
Yeah, and he told Benoit don't do this.
And then Benoit did it.
And he did it. So I don't know. You know, that was just, it was kind of interesting. It's like what the heck, man? He can't. But man, that shot where JBL, and of course, this match was a bit of an outlier with just how much blood there was, but the JBL headshot to a chair shot to Eddie Guerrero, and that just like fountain spurts out. That was, you know, it was like, man, what were they thinking back then? Absolutely.
They're
crazy.
Thinking about putting on the show. And that's one thing that Jericho said, who also comes off really good in this documentary.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And he's sort of one of the main focal points towards the end as well, when he's sort of the impetus for bringing David and Sandra together, you know, because they hadn't talked since, you know, it literally
happened. Yeah. One thing Jericho said was that both Eddie and Benoit more or less gave their lives for the business of professional mm-hmm. wrestling.
Yeah. And he said that the thing that Benoit would be devastated most over is the fact that he almost destroyed professional wrestling because, you know, the media attention, you know, all that stuff was... It was pretty hard.
Yeah, it was a pretty large microscope WWE was under at the time. Another thing Jericho said about what a devastated Benoit is that losing the respect of his peers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because that mattered everything to him.
Yeah, so much of the aftermath of what happened from what he did would have absolutely devastated Benoit, according to Jericho. So
Matthew Randazzo is the name of the author of Ring of Hell, the story of Chris Benoit and the fall of the pro wrestling industry.
Is it Ring of Hell or Ring of Fire?
Ring of Hell. So I'm looking at this is the recap from the signaturespot.com, and it says Ring of Hell, the story of Chris Benoit.
Yeah, I believe that's the book they reference in the show. Yeah,
And then of course the actual discovery, you mentioned it earlier, the they brought in the guy who did the welfare check, and that, you know, that was stuff that was, there were details that were unsettling and I had not heard before. Mm-hmm. Exactly, like when they actually walked through and mm-hmm. you know, it was the poor neighbor who discovered Daniel lying dead on his bed. That was all stuff that was and part of it too, the as as morbid as it may seem, there is sort of like a curiosity as to like what sort of position, like how did Benoit actually kill himself? Like I'd read about it, mm-hmm. but they filmed, you know, one of their little dramatizations that are really well filmed. And it gives you at least an indication of what the scene looked like in the gym when the cop gets there. And how disturbing it would be, because it was like a room of mirror. It was like, you know, the walls were all mirrors, like a lot of gyms have, you know.
Yeah.
And the cop goes in there and she has her gun and she sees a reflection of him and he's actually a lot closer.
Yeah, he's just like on the opposite wall. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like it was a really freaky scene.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a really disturbing scene. I couldn't imagine that poor cop is never going to be able to unsee that stuff.
Well, I mean, another, you know, disturbing aspect of it is, you know, during the course of the investigation, they looked up Benoit's search history.
Yes.
And one of them was most painless way to break your own neck or something.
That's
like that.
That's what it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Which I guess led him to fashion the apparatus, I think, with the lat pull down machine in his home gym to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, that's, yeesh. Yeah. So yeah, definitely so much. I am very much looking forward to, and I want to review this with you also, the New Jack one.
Yes.
That should be really good.
Yeah, we should, I don't remember, I think there's 8 episodes this season.
Yeah, I think so.
We should endeavor to just, at least at some juncture, talk about all of them, because the subject matter of each and every one seems fascinating.
I'm fine doing this on like on a weekly basis. I think that's fine. If people like it, maybe we can go back and do the same thing for season one. We're going to be, I don't know. Nobody knows how the industry is going to shake out over the next couple of months. So we'll probably have plenty of time to fill here going in Raw.
You got that right.
So anyways, let us know what you guys thought and any interesting tidbits you found interesting in the Benoit two-parter of Dark Side of the Ring. Thanks everybody for tuning in. We appreciate it. And until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Goodbye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, I'm Rory.
And I'm Maul.
And we're the hosts of the new Rory and Maul podcast.
That's right.
I know you're probably listening to a podcast that you actually like right now, and we just interrupted it with an ad.
That's all right. We're here.
And I appreciate if you didn't hit the 15-second skip button.
Listen to our show where we cover topics like music, mm-hmm. movies,
yes.
TV shows, which we love to binge watch.
Of course. Just lifestyle stuff.
And give off crazy stories about our day-to-day lives.
Yeah.
Check us out on the new Rory Maul podcast. Listen to wherever you get your podcast and let us know how you're feeling about our show.
And once you're done listening to this podcast that you actually like, maybe you could check us out.